as I'm referring to Matthew 13, 16, verses 25 to 34. We are going through a series in the book of Romans. I finished it last Sunday, the reading through the last chapter 8 in September. And during this year, we're going to have various people preach and one of our different families, reading the same from Romans. But today, we're going to focus on Matthew chapter 6, was released by Christ. So, this will be followed by the Lord. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is your life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, they gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to this kind of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the leaves of the field. How they grow, they neither toil nor sow. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God clothes so, the heart so clothes, the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the earth, which cannot last nor clothing, or you as much faith. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? But the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for today is its own trouble. That's very good. God, you know every last year, you know every heart there is. You know what each one of us is going through. Nothing is hidden from you, O God. And so I ask you that you will minister to each one of us, that you will speak to our hearts, O God, and there are those who are not anxious, those who are very, those who are kind, and going through difficult times in your life. And I lift up, I pray that you will be encouraged and that you will help them to trust in you. For Christ's sake, I pray. Amen. Matthew's Gospel, Jesus is presented as the King. He's the King who has come to establish his kingdom, and those who have trusted in him and have become his followers are subjects to his kingdom. And the nature of life in his kingdom is very different from the world and the culture around the people of this kingdom. For example, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 to 18, when people tend to show off their spirituality through their prayer, through their giving, through their fasting, Jesus calls his followers to live, to stop living for the praise of people and to live to please God. Similarly, in verses 19 to 24, when everyone else makes materialism their master, their pleasure, Jesus calls his followers to make his prayers in heaven. It has become the people make their money their master. The disciples of Jesus are called to reject money as their master and serve God in God morning shows out of this context, and that is the call to serve God and not man. And Jesus anticipates a question in the hearts and the minds of his listeners, and that there will be questions asked about what he has just said. The question could be something like this: if I choose God as my master and not money, and place my value and security in heaven, what about my needs here on earth? What about my daily needs? Who will take care of my needs? If Jesus gets this opportunity to address those who came to worry over their needs. And so, from verses 25 to 34, you will find the word answers to worry, depending upon the translation you are using. You will find the word at least six times in this passage. And three times Jesus categorically says, do not be anxious. This is the way about our need. But before we go further, friends, we need to pause and we need to clarify a few things. That Jesus says, don't worry. Don't be anxious about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear. Jesus is not asking us to be reckless or be irresponsible or be lazy. Nor is he forbidding your careful planning for our life. Nor is he espousing a kind of a detached spirituality or some kind of asceticism. What does Jesus mean when he says, do not worry? What do we do? So the meaning of the word anxious or worry as used in this passage. The word literally means to scramble or to choke oneself. It is the result of becoming consumed by something. And what Jesus is forbidding is to be consumed by our need, to the point where we are choked and scrambled by him. Jesus says, don't do that. You know you are anxious about something, then you know that thing is your waiting thought, and that is something that you will escape with. You know you are anxious about something, then that particular thing dominates your thoughts all through the day, something that you cannot stop thinking. You know you are worried about something, then you cannot stop talking about it to others. And this is God's word for us. Jesus calls to be anxious believer. The call is not to be anxious about our needs, but to seek God first and trust His fatherly care, which is the main point of this book. And that is Christ's followers. Let's not worry about the needs, but seek God first and trust His fatherly care. Jesus, in these verses, not only pronounces not to worry, but He gives us seven reasons why we should not worry. And some of you are already wondering right now because I said seven reasons. But please come, we have a couple today. You have listened to one of this, and my points are pretty strong. They are my friends, so they carry a lot. Number one, minus system, not those who want to learn. Number one, because it says your life is greater than your needs. In verse 25, if we can look at your Bible, so that it's there. Jesus says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Jesus here is using a greater than lesser argument. He's saying, what is greater? The life or food? Or this means life.
And then she goes on to say, what else is great? Building or towers?
Obviously, all.
Now, who gave you life? Who gave you the breath in your lungs? Who gave you the body?
Obviously, it is God.
And so the argument is this. If God who gave you life,
if he can give you life,
then you want to write it.
Sorry?
The God who gave you a body, how does it for him to give you clothes? If he is the source of your very life, will he not provide for his sustenance? If he can do the greater, can he not do the lesser? If he has done the most difficult thing in your life, can he take care of you?
See what Jesus is saying here.
Paul often uses an argument like this in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, addressing to the believers. He says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave himself up for us all, how will he not also on the same basis give us all things? Of course, in this context, Paul is talking about God giving us all other things that are needed for us to make our spiritual progress, ultimately leading to glory, but then this can be applied to physical needs as well. I think of maybe when he was to say something like this, he said, no, God can save you. God can go to the extent of saving you. Don't you think he can take care of everything in your life? So if God did not withhold his own son, when he gave you and me the answer, and he provided us his food, and he provided us his clothing, and he provided us with a job, maybe more money about it, and he provided you with a nice doctor, and God took care of your needs. Jesus said, why are you anxious? Why are you anxious? Brothers and sisters, we need to stop asking, stop trusting God. Number one, your life is greater than your needs. And number two, because you are valuable to God. When was the last time we thought about it? That we are truly valuable to God. Look at verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? In verse 25, Jesus was making an argument from greater to the greater to the lesser. Here in this verse, he makes an argument from the lesser to the greater. He says, look at the birds. Who feeds them? The heavenly Father. Are you not more valuable than the best? If God faithfully feeds a random bird or a little creature with one sense that has no value, will he not take care of even more? Will he not take care of you who's made in his image? Will he not take care of one who is blood bought? You sink into our hearts. And that is this, that you and I are valuable to God. You're not valuable to God because of who we are and what we do and our goodness and so on and so forth. Our value is just coming because we are made in the image of God. Our value is for God also comes because of who we are through Jesus Christ.
You are never leaders
Often you have to make on this verse, he says this. He says, you see, he's making the birds of school masters and teachers. It's great to get a bite of this grace to us that in the gospel, a helpless child should become a theologian and preacher to the gospel. Whenever you listen to Lightfield, as soon as you are listening to a good sermon, the word of hearing, you know, an object listening to each one of us, these who are learning about the future and worried about various things in life, maybe here's what we need to do. Let's kind of see the word, reflect on this verse, because it's probably saying to us, stop lying and stop trusting in God, because this God is trustworthy. He takes care of me, he will take care of you too. Let's kind of hear a bird sing. Maybe we need to lay it aside. I worry and remind myself of the shortcomings of our God. Number two, I think you will learn my heart. I think this one is closely connected to the second one, meaning because God is your heavenly Father. To learn this, to learn chapter, one of the words that keeps repeating is the phrase, your heavenly Father. The greatest reason why believers should not worry or be anxious about their needs is because God, this God, is our heavenly Father. This is something we must not lose. In the midst of the many things that we know about God, we must know the most simple truth about God, and that this God is your heavenly Father. Now, there's a lot of greatest things that Jesus taught his disciples was to call God our Father. Why does God care for us deeply? Why are we so valuable to him? Because in Christ, we who were his enemies have now been adopted as his children, and he has become our heavenly Father. And the King himself is your Father, heavenly Father. And the God of the universe is your Father, we have to pray about. But this almighty, all-powerful God is your heavenly Father. What are you and my ancestors about this land of the universe? Must we live in uncertain times? Yes, the economy of the world is sinking, the inflation is very high, and recession makes it as hard, and people can lose their jobs, and life is not really getting easier, it's only getting difficult. Or maybe you look into your future and you may feel like it's so uncertain and so hopeless for yourself. Listen, this is the truth that we need to hang on to. In fact, God is your heavenly Father. He sees it. He knows what you are going through. He knows your unstopping prayers, the things that you can't even share with people. He sees your guilt. I'm not trying to be a Muslim, but this is what the Bible says in the book of Psalms, that God has to come to us for this. He cares for us too much to forsake us. He loves us too much to abandon us. And this is the greatest reason why you and I must not worry. David was Yahweh's father, or Yahweh's father. And every day is a reminder for us. This day is a reminder for us that God is freely our father. And no matter what we go through in life, He is more than able to take care of us. So, brothers and sisters, we have nothing to worry about. Because we are not left to our own strength. No matter where you are heading, you know, maybe like Sam or Kristen, you're moving to another place. Listen, we have nothing to worry because we are not left to our own strength. Because God, our Heavenly Father, is with us. That being said, there might be someone here who is not a follower of Jesus Christ. And I wonder how you learn to have a relationship with God. Because it's not about anything that you can do that you can have a relationship with God. But it's by trusting in Jesus and His finished work on the cross. It's what John chapter 1 and verse 9 says. But to all who did receive Him as Jesus, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. So saying you can have a relationship with God today. You can become a child of God today. You too can go call God your Heavenly Father today. But if you believe and receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life, the question is, will you do that as well? Talking about the reasons why we forget, there's a fourth one. Because it is very possible to forget. We're trying to shut it. We begin by being anxious to add a single hour to a span of life. Jesus, in other words, is saying to simply worry. Because it's useless. Because it doesn't help you in any way. It doesn't add a single hour to your life. Has anyone ever changed any of their circumstances because they have worried? Is there anyone who has been saying, by constantly worrying, I'm not gaining something. If you ever gain anything by worrying, we lose our peace, we lose our joy, we lose our health, we lose our productivity, and sometimes we even lose our relationships. That's why we should have learned. We must go to God in prayer and trust our prayers on Him. This is what Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 and 7. This is something that Pastor Theo was already talking about in his family. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your riches be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In fact, His peace is God of hearts and minds. He will be fine. I said, you and I not worry, because the anxiety and worry reveals the deficiency of our faith. We look at verse 30, this is what Jesus says. But again, God so fills the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven. This is not much more closely, all you of little faith, all you of little faith. More times we tend to think of worry as a small thing, a weakness in our character, or we view it as a personality thing that we cannot lack of trust in the character of the Father. And we worry if not our vision of who God is. And we worry we forget that this God is a good God, that He is loving, that He is more powerful, that He is all grace. And then we worry we dethrone God and reduce Him to nothing and retake the place of God. And then we worry the rest of them is not the same as say in reality we live like practical atheists. It is as if God does not exist at all. It is as if there is no God who can heal to your life. For all these reasons and more, I think worry is not a small thing to me as a entertainer in your life. Worry is actually a small thing for them, a cap on the character of the caring God. It is sinful. It is a sin. And because it is a sin, we must be clear. Maybe there are some of us here. Life is characterized by worry. We can say wonderful songs, we can do wonderful things, we can say wonderful things about God, and yet when it comes to real life things, when everyday things of life, we sit by just worry about everything. We can look in the panic for God this morning, because we have no little God. We have not promised good, good God in big God. We need to turn away from the sin and turn to God in simple faith and trust in Him. And we are from the trust in Him. Who thinks why should you and I not worry about those things? It's because you are a sheep from the Lord. Go to what it says in verse 31 on earth. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that the reason for what seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So, Jesus does not worry about this thing, as He says, now these are the things that can be done. These are the things that create him. These are the things that we know that people who don't have God in their life, they're worrying about. The people in this world are the only one person, and that is to, you know, they're concerned with the physical needs of their life. They're worried, all that their life is about what to eat and what to, what clothes to wear and where to live and what kind of possessions to have, and they put themselves with the cares of the world. Because you see, you are different. You, as a child of God, you are different. Our priorities are different. The things that the pagans pursue after are not primary things for us, they are secondary things for us. You and I have greater pursuits to pursue. And that is to seek His kingdom and His righteousness first. We have other concerns. We are not like the world. Our concern is for the kingdom of God. Our concern is for His rule and His reign in our lives. Our concern is to ask every single day how we live under the lordship of Jesus Christ today. Our concern is to ask, have I pursued righteousness today? Our concern is to ask, am I becoming like Jesus Christ every day? Seeking His kingdom first only means to see Christ rule and reign in our life, but it's also to spread His kingdom, His reign in this world. consumed with mourning of Christ. It is to be consumed to seek the salvation of the lost among us. So, brothers and sisters, I don't ask you this morning. What are you most concerned about in your life right now? Even as you think about this. Are those concerns spiritual? Or are those concerns merely physical about that I don't have this, I don't need this, or that this time? Do you worry about your spiritual life? Do you worry that you're not growing in the Lord as you should grow in the Lord? Do you get concerned when your love for God has gone cold in your life? Does it trouble you when you haven't been spending time with God for a long, long time? Does it trouble you at all? Does it bother you, my brother, my sister? When your friend or your family looks at your worries, will they be able to differentiate between the worries of those in the world and the worries of those who are in Jesus Christ? Lord, as he says, when I seek his kingdom first, and his holy things will be added to you. All these things that, he has made them as the number one thing. All these needs in your life, all these necessities in your life will be added. And it's going to be a bonus for you. That's our promise. That is Jesus' promise for your life. He says, care for God's things first in your life, as he did them as well. And then he tells us, what has this place priority for him? This is the kingdom of the most kingdom of his righteousness first in our lives. If not, we are seeking after so many other things, and we are putting ourselves in the place of this world. And we can, we are doing that, we need to be doing this with God. He says, our common has a good place in the way of God. Renew yourself in the way of God, God. I want to sit here and look for you in this place of God. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself, sufficient for the day in its own. The seventh reason that Jesus gives is that we have sufficient grace for each day. Because you will have trouble today, you will have enough trouble tomorrow as well. The Father said, anxiety, worry is living out the future before it gets. Jesus reminds us that tomorrow comes with its own trouble. You don't live out your future plans today. Each day comes with its own curtain or a set of problems. This day, before the set of troubles gets to you, you have a clearly large and a sufficient grace that is available to you. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to us. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. If you have to ask yourself, who's on your throne next day? Jesus, thank God, will send you through today. And then tomorrow's if nobody can receive me with him, he was faithful. He is faithful to me. He will be faithful. Because faith is a faithful message. Thank you.